What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Are your hygiene ops getting a little boring? Do they need some energy? Do you need to rethink how you influence or lead patients? Well, if that's the case, today we're going to change that all for you. With an amazing coach. Her name is Carly Einarsson, and she introduces the idea of four ways to completely reinvent the hygiene op and make it transformational for your patients. It's awesome. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Thank you guys for showing up. I'm just so grateful people are listening to us because with over 900 episodes, we're just going to keep bringing it. And if you haven't figured this out yet, we love this stuff. Our hope is you listen to the podcast and whatever we share with you, it improves your practice and your life. And we're going to do exactly that today with an amazing coach. Her name is Carly Einarsson, and we're going to be talking about how to reinvent your hygiene op. Has your hygiene op gotten a little stale? Is it not creating the energy that you need in your practice? Well, today, let's change that. Carly, thanks for being back. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love being on with you and talking about this stuff. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So let's do this. Let's start super high level. Now, if you haven't figured this out yet as a podcast listener, we're practice coaches, so this is what we do. We're kind of geeks about this stuff. We work with practices all over the country who aren't necessarily broken. These are actually really great practices, but they've hit the ceiling where either things get stale, they don't know how to make them better, they're kind of stuck, and we help them get unstuck and create some energy and growth, whatever they mean, whatever they're trying to define growth as. And a big piece of this is what's happening in hygiene. So Carly, give us some high-level stuff. Why is this so important?
So ultimately, you're talking about practices getting stuck, but hygienists in practices can get stuck too. So sometimes hygiene visits feel like they're just a routine cleaning instead of more of a powerful opportunity to engage with patients, grow the practice. Ultimately, it just feels like routine and mundane and like the same thing all over again. Every day. So when patients don't see the value in a hygiene, they cancel, they delay, they push back. And when the provider feels like it's routine and mundane and the same thing, then the patient is going to feel that too. So we just want to use it as a powerful tool instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, gosh, I can't even talk today. But one of those things is like you get into this routine, and that's the challenge of doing anything, especially as you create systems, you get into these habits. And if you don't change up the habits, they become ruts, you know, where you're just kind of doing the same thing. And patients can feel that. Oftentimes, hygiene can feel more transactional than transformational. And you know this, like hygiene is an amazing part of your practice. You've got to create it in a way that patients feel very connected. Like they feel like you have their back this whole time. So the whole idea is when you refresh this hygiene experience, you're going to build loyalty, you're going to build referrals, you're going to build health, you're going to build profitability. So let's get you thinking that way today. So Carly, where do we start?
Well, we want to start with building that trust with patients. Ultimately, it builds case acceptance. It builds a better experience for patients in general, right? Where they feel educated, they feel cared for, they feel motivated. So we first want to start with setting clear expectations. So I don't know, as long as you've been listening, you've probably heard E minus R equals C, right? So expectations minus reality equals conflict. This is when you're going to pause and have to like repeat it in your head a couple times. But what we want to ask is what patients' expectations for their visit is today. Ultimately, you come in, it's a very simple question, and I'm sure you will get an answer, but sometimes you get a different answer from different patients, right? So we want to layer on the roadmap of plans for the appointment and like kind of weave in where their expectations fall and or just open some of those conversations.
Yeah.
So for example, if you ask the patients what their expectation is to having their teeth cleaned, they might reply with something along the lines of like, great, in an hour we have reserved together, we will most certainly be making sure that the hygiene services are provided and you're leaving looking, feeling healthy. So we first want to start by setting clear expectations. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a little while, you've probably heard the term E minus R equals C, which stands for expectations minus reality equals conflict. So ultimately, we are going to begin every visit by asking one simple question. What are your expectations for today's visit? So if we set the expectations for the visit, we can have reality meet those expectations, and we do not have that conflict, right? It's a quick question, and it's very easy to ask at the very beginning of the appointment.
Yeah. Can I add a couple of things? Like, that's one of our favorite formulas. Like, if you've been listening to podcasts, you've heard this before, but I want you to think about this today. All conflict comes from one of these two variables. And if you use this positively, you can create a hugely positive experience for people. So think about expectations minus reality equals conflict. If you can exceed expectations, which nobody does in this world, you now have created a practice that's changing lives and people want to refer other people. So Carly, I totally agree. Is the best way to exceed expectations is to ask people, what are your expectations for this? You know, in previous podcasts, you've heard Miranda talk about that first phone call. When somebody calls your office, like, what are you looking for in a new dental home? Because people might be saying, well, I just need somebody to just cover my insurance. I got this tooth. I just want my teeth clean. Just that question alone in every appointment helps you understand where the patient is starting, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you're asking for the answers to the test before you even start the test, right? If you get those expectations first, even if you get a simple reply to that question of, what are your expectations for today's visit? You get a simple reply maybe of, well, in this hour, I expect to get my teeth cleaned and that's it. Like, ultimately, it's a simple answer, but it does put people back in their seat and be like, oh, what is my expectation for today? Or what do I want out of this visit? Because you might get some better answers talking about education, talking about wanting to look and feel healthy, a shiny, bright smile. You might open some doors for, you know what I mean? Like whitening conversations. There's a ton of different doors you can open with just that with that question that you might not have thought about before.
Totally. And one more thing I'll just add is, it's such a powerful question because you can also manage expectations. Even in my business, our business, people say, well, here's my expectation. I can start with, well, let me share with you what I don't do or what won't happen today. And I like that too. Like those are often my favorite conversations is when somebody's super clear with me up front going, I know you're expecting this, or they find out what I was expecting and they get right to the point right away. The point is this, when you are a dental practice that meets or exceeds expectations consistently, you are going to be busier than you want to be forever. And you could start to transform people's lives in the hygiene chair. What else do we need to know about that formula before we move to number two?
With that, I would also say the only other thing that it can really help with is like expectations on time, expectations on services, just having them leave with a higher elevated customer service experience, right? Because ultimately we are in the business of people, and having them leave happier and kind of with that wow experience will make them come back time and time again.
Yeah.
And feel more valued.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the time thing. Pete Dawson said this 30 years ago. He said, you can actually build a practice just by being on time. You know, think about that. So there's so many ways we can do this better. And really, like when you think about your practice, there's a lot of things you do right. Well, but this is the opportunity where you can lean into it as a culture, say, like, what are the things that we can tweak and get better? And I love how you laid this out, like set clear expectations first. What's number two?
Yeah. To use monitors for patient education, not HDTV or some other kind of, you know, throwing it on the news or whatever else. Having that monitors actually have x-rays on them, IO photos on them, photos of any sort, and use them for patient education and for their purpose.
Yeah, this is a big one. Like, don't skip over this one. We have been in so many practices, and this is one I'm really, really biased about. And I'll just tell you my own experience. I've been in some of the best dental practices in the country, and it's amazing how many of them have the news on all the time. And I don't know if you're listening to this, how you feel about if I'm watching the news, my anxiety is skyrocketing. Like, I'm just and you know, I don't even talk about what's happened in the news recently, but a lot of it is just not positive stuff. And so you got to remember, when people come into your office, you really want them to be thinking about why they're there and singleness of purpose and maybe improving my oral health or my overall health or asking really good questions. And we don't really give enough value to the information that goes into our eyes. What we see, we believe. So I think it's important, like you said, to craft the experience from the beginning all the way through that. You know, a great test is to walk around and try to imagine what goes into the eyes of your patients. Now, everybody wants these monitors and they have them all over the place, but I think the news is the worst thing you can put on there. I love the idea of having education. And then I learned this from our practices in North Carolina. I had like three dentists tell me this. They're like, if you're ever going to put the TV on in your ops, you know what channel you should have on? Have you heard me share this one, Carly, at all?
No, I haven't.
They go, put on the Food Network, you know, because everybody's talking about food. And when you're in a dental office, man, some of these patients, all they think about is how they're going to eat. You know, my parents are 20 years older than me and they break a tooth, man. Food is compromised. They got to change their diet. My mom, when she's making dinner, she's only talking about what she's going to make for lunch tomorrow. And so it's so important that you are carefully crafting the experience that goes into your patient's eyes. What else would you suggest?
I would say that also, like, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? And we talked about expectations. They kind of go together. If you throw up a picture of a tooth that has a really dark spot, a big crack, doesn't look great, the patient is already going to likely start asking, like, hey, what can we do about that? Or, ooh, that doesn't look good. Oh, I don't want to see that. And it's like, well, that's in your mouth. It's in your body, right? We want to do something about it. And it can help kind of set those expectations, as well as it gets them to have actually like an active part in their treatment planning and co-discovery, right? Like, as a hygienist, you do co-discovery with the doctor and you share certain things that you've seen. The patient also should have an active piece in that. And the only way they can have an active piece in their like co-discovery and their treatment planning is if you actually have the pictures on the screen.
Yeah.
Right?
It's amazing.
Same with, I mean, x-rays too, but ultimately you have to explain the x-rays a little bit more. But the pictures, again, 1,000 words.
Yeah. Now I'm going to sound like the old guy that's been doing this for 31 years, but I actually think we've gotten lazy with this. When I got started in this, there was an amazing hygienist that helped me. Her name was Alice Beener, and she was the hygienist for Bill Strupp for many years. And she just got all over me about like how we have to visually educate patients. So she had those, they didn't have monitors back then, but they had the little mirrors on the lamps. And she said, I would pull those mirrors on the lamps down and I would ask the patient, tell me when you can see your upper teeth and lower teeth, because you're going to watch this experience. And she said patients would try to push that away. And she would say, honey, this is going on in your mouth. I'm not going to let this happen. Now, a couple other things she brought up. And Carly, I don't know, you know, here I am going the old guy. Like, disclosing solution. I remember disclosing solution for like half of my life. And I remember the early hygienists that I would go to, even in my 20s, like you do this, and then you're like, okay, how am I doing it? Wow, I'm not doing so well on the right side. Nowadays, people are like, well, you have a, you know, you're doing okay. There's a little tartar in your front lowers and yeah, you should probably wash. And it's like, this is what I hear. You know, you hear Charlie Brown's teacher in there. I think it's so important, you know, whether you're using monitors or mirrors or disclosing solution, the information cannot come verbally. It's got to come visually.
1,000%. And even when they are talking about like, oh, in the bottom of the lower back here, this and that, sometimes I would even take a picture of even like if half of it was cleaned or before it was cleaned and after it was cleaned so that the person can actually see, because I don't think somebody can tell you, but it is different than actually looking. As well as sometimes, especially for like bigger treatment, it is great to have like a folder full of example pictures, x-rays, something that's really great, really healthy, something that's done really well, maybe something that is not done as well or is not healthy, right? And you can have some example photos in your back pocket to discuss more concerning things with patients.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, what we find with a lot of the practices we coach, again, they're amazing practices. They use the time excuse. Well, I don't have time to do all this. You don't have time not to do this. And so this is where we have to think better in re-engineering our processes. Number one, if you're running behind, you're right. You don't have time to do it. But if you manage your time correctly, have good systems in place, you can get this done right. And there's no better time to communicate with a patient than when they're right in front of you. So it's great stuff. Anything else you would add on this?
I would also say with that too, not to jump in, but with that, you're going to save yourself time in the future.
Right.
So by showing some of these pictures and by educating now, you're going to have patients that are fully invested in their health and come back and actually ask you, oh, how am I doing? Can you take a picture of that? Oh, what does it look like today, right? Because if they're invested and they see it and they're learning, then chances are you don't have to have those conversations every single time, all the time, and they're learning and they know, and it will save you time later,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Absolutely. Great mentor of mine, his name is Dr. Charlie Verapapa. He's like, you got to tell these dentists, like, get all the other distractions out of your office. Like, don't keep the small talk to be half of the appointment either. You know, we'll start with great rapport. I do want to know about them, but like 10 minutes into the appointment, we're going to start asking very intentional questions, showing very intentional photos so that they're starting to learn, ask, be curious about their oral health in a, you know, in a very collaborative way. So it's good stuff. So Carly, what's number three?
Number three is use technology to its fullest. So this is ultimately, I mean, it has to do with monitors too, a monitor's technology, right? But other technology like the practice management software, you want to make sure that we're using that to its fullest, using the periodontal chart to explain options and different disease data to with patients. What I would do is I would actually pull the perio chart on over to the monitor in front of the patient so they could see. They can hear, right? And as like when you're going along periodontal charting, but it is nice for them to see. Everybody learns differently. So some people learn by seeing, some people learn by hearing, by doing. It's nice to give them a couple options and or have them see both. That kind of backs up what you're saying and on the screen.
I feel like I'm telling stories with old guys and old people I've met in dentistry, but Fred Troxel, who was a dentist in the Keys, Florida, he was the first that I ever saw do saliva testing. Now, this is way back in the days where he would actually take it, put it on a slide, put it underneath a microscope and tell the patient what they were seeing. It freaked me out. And he was like, I can, you know, we can tell a really good story about that. And again, it's so powerful. There was another dentist I met in Austin, Texas. He would do pH testing in patients' mouths. And I'm like, why do you do pH testing? Because it tells me so much about what's, that was 25 years ago. He's like, I can tell them, I can tell whether or not they're going to be pre-diabetic based on their habits and things like that. For the most part, like you can see. And then I watched him do it with a patient one time and the pH was crazy. He's like, watch this. Tell me what you had for breakfast. And the patient was like, sugar, 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 like no protein balance. It's amazing once you start thinking in advance. I'll add one more thing about the practice management softwares. And again, this is a challenge. Like every practice management software that we work with has incredible value. But the overall utilization in dentistry of practice management, even the best like Dentrix, Open Dental, you know, EagleSoft, we can often find practices, they're using 30% or 40% of its capabilities. So that becomes another opportunity for your team. If you use the software the way it's supposed to be used, you can transform your practice. I sound like a broken record on that. Anything you would add?
There's so many softwares too, such as like Pearl.
Right.
It helps provide an easy and like colorful way to explain things to patients. It backs you up in a way that is so much easier to discuss with patients. We have, intraoral photos, scanners. Scanners are game changers to show how things can transform and what things could look like. If we change something here, tweak something here, this is what it could look like in the future. Showing the wear on teeth. There's so many amazing pieces of technology that are in practices that we don't necessarily use to the fullest. And ultimately, again, going back to that time, I'm not saying you need to use every single one of these things in every single appointment. It is going to be customized to each patient, what they want. Going back to that first question, what are your expectations today from your visit, right? You can customize based on each person's answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the trends and how people are learning and communicating with smartphones and everything. If you look at how your kids communicate or even the younger generations, all of it is video. All of it is text, and I don't even know what Snapchat is, but some people Snapchat like hundreds, if not thousands of times a day, and it's not with text, it's with photos. So I think we're all learning. And when you say allow the images to do the explaining for you, that's a huge piece of it. So find a way to tell a visual story. Love it. Love it. Love it. What's number four?
Absolutely. Celebrate wins and validate concerns. So ultimately, like you're saying, kind of where our world is going with all of this AI and computers and pictures and everything, there is a piece of that personal connection that's so important, especially in the hygiene visit. I have had patients come back specifically for hygienists and not even for the doctor necessarily. And it's because of that personal relationship. And I believe it has to do with celebrating wins, validating concerns, being there for that person when they're scared, nervous. People don't normally love to come to the dentist, right? So being there for that person and having that personal connection, celebrating those things. I mean, your gums look healthier than last time. Look at this picture. Oh my gosh, like your buildup on the lower anterior was so much worse last time. Like, way to go. It brings that encouraging factor and that personal touch back, like to the dental office, right? And to your cleaning appointment.
Yeah, I love the personal wins. You know, obviously when patients and something happens in their lives, celebrating those, but also the dental oral health wins. Now I'm going to totally screw this up and we're going to have to get Barrett back on. But our CEO, Dr. Barrett Straub, talked, he's told the story many times. He would always celebrate bleeding points, you know, and because you got to remember some of these patients come in, like you said, they're not excited to be here. They're shameful about what's happening. And the first time they meet you, the bleeding points might be a lot. He's like, listen, we're going to start here. But he said it would be amazed when you're consistent with that. They would say to him, Dr. Straub, guess how many bleeding points today? Only had 5, you know? And he's like, well, we're doing good. Like last time it was 10, you know? And then they'd come back and they go, I only had 3 today or 2 today. And that's what you're talking about, celebrating the progress or the wins. Now you're actually an active part and helping them improve their overall health.
Oh, the best thing is when, like, it's music to a hygienist's ears when a patient comes in and they're like, how many 5s do I have this time? Or how many 4s do I have this time? Are there less? Like, where are they? I want to know. I've been focusing on the area you told me last time, right? And just sharing those wins is so fun. And it's great to see it. It makes patients more involved in their own health.
Yeah. Now there's an interview concept called resisting the writing reflex. Can you explain what the writing reflex is?
Yeah. The writing reflex is a natural tendency that many helpers, so AKA helpers like dentists, doctors, coaches, parents, they want to just fix the situation by correcting any behavior, error, giving advice, persuading somebody to change. So they're ultimately not like you're fixing something for someone else and you're not giving them the chance to actually think or fix it for themselves or have that personal interest in fixing or doing something differently.
Yeah. So you know, I often do this with my children and I shouldn't, but like the important piece is like, they've got to learn about this and then they've got to be part of the solution. And, you know, you're just the person that's going to help them with this. And it's, trust me, it's very hard. I still do it, but being aware of when you are doing it so that you can just back off a little bit. Why do you think that's happening? You know, tell me a little bit more about that. What do you see up here? What are you noticing here between this photo we took 6 months ago and this photo right here? Mrs. Jones, can you wiggle that too? Yes. You know, so, ooh, this is another one. Alice Beaner taught me this one. So credit to Alice Beaner. She's like, when mobility was a big one. So she would tell a patient like, need me a favor? I want you to put your finger on this tooth and wiggle that. And so she said, anything you noticed from the last time? Yes, it's more wiggly than it was last time. She goes, okay, well, that's called mobility. Now, this is so cool. Like I can still remember these stories. She said, did you ever play with a fence post as a kid? And they would all go, yeah, in the dirt. Yeah. Did you ever wiggle it? Yeah. See how she was taking them on this journey? If you wiggled it so much, what would happen? They would go, well, you could just pull it right out of the ground. She goes, that's exactly what's happening here. She never told the patient. She took them on a journey like so that they could understand what's happening, you know? So am I on the right track here with any of this?
Oh, absolutely. And even I'm just thinking of my day-to-day, like with my clients, right? Sometimes I will ask questions and people are like, just tell me the answer. Right. And it's like, we're coaches and we call ourselves coaches, not consultants, because we're here to make you think and make you think about the answer and have you find the answer yourself, right? And point you in that direction. And that's the same thing that you can do in the chair is ask those questions, point them in the right direction. And they're almost answering it, the questions for themselves about their own health, right? Ultimately, you're then going to explain it. You're going to take them on that journey. But asking those questions, being curious, validating concerns is all going to be so important in the hygiene chair.
Yeah. Carly, just the pure topic of this conversation is like bringing all this recall back to me. First of all, I'll just tell you guys, I'm a geek about education. I love all this stuff. So another Alice Beaner story, she said, just be curious, like be constantly curious with patients. It'll transform your hygiene ops. And she told me this story. There was a patient she had that was a runner and he was always trying to PR. I didn't know what a PR was. Now I know it's a personal record. Like he was trying to improve his race time. And his goal was ultimately to run at Boston, do the Boston Marathon. And she said he wasn't getting any better. And I told him like a great deal of your health is about what's going on in your mouth. Now that's 30 years ago. So that's a big stretch. So people didn't often believe that. And she could tell, and she would lie to her and say, you know, how are you taking care of yourself? Yeah, I'm brushing your teeth. Are you flossing? Yeah. And she could tell he wasn't. So she's like, I just got to get through to this guy one of these days. And so she asked him like, okay, can you tell me where you brush your teeth? Like, well, I brush my teeth in the bathroom. And she said this to the patient. This is awesome. She goes, I want you for the rest of your life to never brush your teeth in your bathroom again. I go, you said that to him? She goes, yeah, because I could tell if he brushed, it wasn't for very long. And he probably didn't. She goes, do you have any other interests besides running? He said, well, I actually love my yard, gardening. She goes, I want you to put some toothpaste on the toothbrush. I want you to floss, obviously. And I want you to walk around your garden and just brush your teeth. I need you to do it for 2 minutes every morning and every evening. And so he did it. And she goes, he came back. He's like, I love that. Like, I don't brush my teeth. So what's really weird about this, Carly, and I'm telling all the listeners too, I actually walk around the house now because if you all have the ultrasonic toothbrushes, you know as well as I do, as much as you value oral health, 2 minutes is a long time. Like, you're like, okay, listen, I've got to, and it does the quadrant break. You're like, I got to be in quadrant four at least. Come on, man. And so there are times, even myself, as I'm walking around upstairs, I often don't go downstairs, but I'll be upstairs. I'm like, it's amazing how much better when you brush your teeth. You can make it through the entire cycle on your ultrasonic. So I don't know if that's helpful. But the point is this, is that being curious and getting patients to get out of their routine it's not only going to transform your hygiene operatory, but you're going to transform some lives and you're going to see people's overall oral health improve.
Absolutely. And I think that story right there even almost hit the nail on all of the heads that we were talking about, right? Expectations, talking about those, what to expect, what each person expects, the provider and the hygienist, the provider and the patient. It talks about patient education, right? Talks about that personal connection, celebrating those wins. And even if you could throw it on top, I mean, you said it was 25 years ago, so it's a little different now, but if you could throw it on top and show some pictures of those wins and areas to work on, it would really hit the nail on all the heads for
I love it.
Place today.
So well said, Carly. Any last thoughts before we wrap up and say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. First, hygiene can be more than cleaning. It just starts with the patient trust, treatment acceptance, those personal connections. It is the gateway to the practice and changing the little small things, using your space, technology, communication to transform that patient experience is going to be amazing for both you and your patients. It gives you something new each cleaning that you're doing, and it also gives the patient that customized experience. So even if you just change one thing every appointment, whether it's some co-discovery, whether it's IO photos, whether it's using Pearl, whether it's doing saliva testing, just one thing in each appointment for here until the rest of your career, it is going to be so transformational and not transactional.
So well said, you know, and I'll just piggyback on that. You don't have to fix everything. Just fix one thing a month, like one thing a month. That's 12 things a year. And if you have two hygienists, that's 24 changes you've made to improve and transform your hygiene experience. Carly, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love being here and all this stuff, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that. And, you know, we're going to keep bringing it. I hope you enjoyed the stories. I just added to that, too. We love this stuff. We're going to keep bringing it. And if you still need some help, if you go back in the Best Practices Association, which is the incredible community and support that we're creating for independent practices, and we keep adding things all the time. You know, we've got a great resource tool back there called Tiers of Service Exercise. It's actually an exercise you can use to modify your hygiene ops and transform the entire experience. What's really cool about these resources, you just print them out, there's videos, and you don't have to think. Just follow the exercise. That's why we do this. We also have another one back there called Creating a Six-Star Patient Experience, which actually takes you through all the components of what we would consider an excellent patient experience. And you can check every box. Say, we do that. We can improve that. We can improve that. The hardest part about improving your practice is, number one, getting everybody on the same page and then getting us all aligned on what to do and maybe how to do it. And that's why we created these resources. And if you've tried everything and you're like, I've tried everything, I don't want to do anything, I can't even do this anymore, I can't do it anymore, we have great coaches, amazing coaches. We call them pro coaches, like Carly, who will make you do this stuff for your own benefit, the practice benefit, your team benefit, and your patients. So we're here to help you every step of the way. So hope you guys enjoyed that. If you enjoyed that, do us a favor, hit the share button and share this with your friends and colleagues. Keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see, and we're going to keep lining up. And until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.